runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 181 with guest Don Jones, recorded Thursday, October 7th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. How are you doing?
I feel like doing a run as. How about you?
Yeah, let's do one. Sounds good to me.
Oh, good timing then. It's seeing how we're all together and all this good stuff.
That's right.
All right, let's introduce our guest. Don Jones is one of the world's leading experts on the Microsoft Business Technology Platform. He's the author of more than 35 books.
Wow.
And is a top-rated speaker at technology conferences worldwide. He writes features and monthly columns for numerous print and online publications, and is a multi-year recipient of Microsoft's prestigious Most Valuable Professional Award, and serves as editor-in-chief for Real-Time Publishers. Welcome, Don.
Hey, Don.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And thanks for coming on the show. So what are you working on these days? I know you get around.
I do. It's been a really busy year for travel, and this will go down in the history books for me, at least, as the year that everyone finally discovered PowerShell. I've been doing, I think, more classes and articles and everything else on PowerShell than in any two previous years combined. And I'm actually working on a new book for PowerShell. It'll be the second one I've written and the first book I've written in probably two or three years.
Well, once you're up to around over 30, you know, it's like
you slow down a bit. Yeah,
that's just a lot of books, my friend. My goodness, I have to agree with you that PowerShell just seems to have come out in a big way. It used to be a niche product, but now everyone seems to be more comfortable with it. And I think the big thing is Microsoft products are embedding it at its very core. You know, all of IIS is essentially a PowerShell script.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a critical mass. You know, I think Microsoft launched it. Exchange 2007 used it, and Microsoft kind of, you know, talked a big talk, but they've done that before. And I think people were kind of, there was a little bit of, let's see if it really happens. And then there was a little bit of, you know, it looks like programming to me, so I'm going to stay away from it. Because it, you know, those of us who were enthusiasts and who jumped in early kind of came from VBScript, and we tended to use PowerShell the same way.
Right.
Well, Microsoft made good on the big talk. I mean, they're sticking it in everything. The only things they haven't stuck it into yet, they just haven't got to. And it's become a little bit harder to ignore. Plus, there's kind of this discovery that it isn't a programming language, or it doesn't have to be. It has one in it, but it's a lot more than that. And you can just use it as a command shell. And that, I think, makes it approachable to a lot more people in the beginning. You know, someone who maybe doesn't have a programming background can still be really effective with it. And you know, if they pick that up and they carry it through to there, that's fine. But you don't have to. You can still be very effective with it just as a shell.
Well, and I do like the way that there are all kinds of third-party products that put a GUI over top of some PowerShell feature. I mean, the whole IIS 7 management client is this, essentially, that you can then, you know, click and poke your way through what you want to do, and then it generates the script for you, and that helps teach you the scripting language.
Yeah, and you know, people kind of have this, I can't believe Microsoft is going to get rid of the GUI, and I don't see that happen anytime soon. The name of the product is still Windows, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes the window just doesn't do what you need it to do, and so at least now you have the option of going down to the command line. Before, you could write a VB script if you could find the bits that did what you needed to do and you had took the time to learn it. I mean, at least now you've got options.
So if I'm an IT guy or gal, and I don't know PowerShell, and I look at the command line, and I remember thinking back, and I'm thinking, wow, I remember, you know, the first time I typed CMD, hit an OK button, and it came up, and years ago, now I have to start all over again. That was a learning curve, but PowerShell sounds like a huge learning curve. What can you tell us, people who might feel that way, that will encourage us to really dive in and learn something?
You're totally correct, and there is a learning curve, and you know, Microsoft, I think, has made it as easy as they practically could. You can argue whether they could have done a better job, but basically anything that you already learned to do in command.exe, by and large, still works. You can still run dir, you can still run ping, you can still run ipconfig, all those things still work.
Sure.
PowerShell just basically gives you a bazillion more commands that can do all the things that you could never do before from the command line. It gives you a consistent command naming scheme, so you can kind of guess what the command names are. I mean, if I tell somebody, yeah, to get a list of services, it's get service. To get a list of process, it's get process. Now, guess what the command is to get a list of mailboxes? Get mailbox. So that consistency helps there. And then they've made the command line parameters a lot easier too. It's more consistent. The parameter names are nice real names, not like slash X and slash lowercase q. It's a full name. So, you know, apart from having to learn the syntax to those, which there's ample built-in help to help you do, there's man pages for everything. It's learning syntax. There's some concepts you have to learn about how PowerShell works to really, really leverage it and make it work for you. But, you know, I think I've started to use the subway analogy. We don't have one where I live, but I love cities that do have subways. And there's a certain learning curve that goes with the subway. You have to learn what the fare structure is. You have to learn how to operate the machine that sells you the fare. You have to learn how to operate the turnstile. And, you know, typically most people will work out the timetable for maybe work. Maybe they're using the train for the morning commute. But once you've gotten all those concepts under your belt, well, now you can take the subway to the museum. It's just a matter of learning a new timetable or maybe figuring out where a new station is. It's not hard once you've figured out how the system works. And that's PowerShell. If you can invest the time to learn the system, then you'll be able to learn Exchange, SQL, IIS, whatever else without a lot of extra. It's just learning a new station.
To me, the big thing here is actually accumulating your knowledge, that you don't learn it to build this once and then have to learn it over again to do that again. It's that getting down in the script form means I can keep these things. And if I'm a little bit diligent in my cataloging, I eventually build up a repertoire of scripts that do stuff for my infrastructure.
Yeah, you totally can. And that's not a guess. We know that's how it works because every single other computing platform on the planet works that same way. You convince a Unix administrator who's been using Unix for a month, well, I need you to use a GUI to do this. Okay, I'll do it because it's nice and it's familiar and it's kind of easy to figure out.
Right.
Take a guy who's been using Unix for 5 years and tell him he has to use a GUI and he'll punch you in the face.
Yeah.
He wants to go down on the command line. You know, AS400, VMS, Unix, Linux, Cisco, pick an operating system. They all work that way.
So I feel like we came to this late, although we've had other solutions in the Windows world. Just I think this is the cleanest one I've ever seen in terms of just being able to organize stuff well that way.
It's the only one that was deliberately made for that. You know, VBScript, Windows Script Host was great, but it was purely accidental. Microsoft really only did that because folks figured out, hey, we've got all these COM objects. Let's put VB down there. That's easy to learn. But they never really intended it and really went after it. The approach that's different with PowerShell is that when a product team like Exchange sits down, they have to agree to write all of their administrative functionality in PowerShell. That guarantees you can get to all of it from the command line.
Right.
Then they go back and they build the GUI on top of PowerShell. So there's nothing the GUI can do that you can't do yourself if you choose to.
Sure.
And that approach, that different approach in design is what makes this work. You're no longer halfway through a script fumbling to do the next bit because Microsoft forgot to program it. Now you know the bits are going to be there.
And it's not just Microsoft bits either, too, right? There's third parties that are writing bits we keep hearing about. You hear the term commandlets a lot.
Yeah, there are. Microsoft, I think, did the right thing in opening up a software development kit. So you've got Cisco doing it. VMware made a version of their VI toolkit that offers PowerShell commandlets.
Right.
You've got companies like F5 and even IBM jumped on with WebSphere MQ. There are commandlets for that. Quest Software is adding commandlets to more and more of their administration products. So, you know, once you start pulling all these different bits together, and once people start pushing vendors, because that'll happen too eventually. We pushed them to use the MMC for their management consoles, and we pushed them to do what we like. And so once we start pushing them to do commandlets, you'll be able to integrate all these different things from one command line in a way that a GUI could never, ever, ever make possible.
Do you think there's a logical size limit to a given script? I mean, I've seen some pretty big ones, but I feel like there's a threshold where it's too complicated at some point. What's the logical unit of work in a script?
I think the right thing to do is, And I do see people write gigantic 800-line scripts, and they do get to be a bit of a hassle to maintain. And I think that's largely because you've got administrators who really have no formal programming experience, and they're really not familiar with the concept of modularization, and they're not educated on what PowerShell even offers for modularization. VBScript even offered pretty good modularization. You could build classes and things, but it's very rare to find someone who did that. So in PowerShell, the approach is to break everything down into a task. If a task is creating a user, then pull that apart and make your own little command out of it. And you can do that. There's something called an advanced function that looks and feels an awful lot like a real commandlet. And you can have parameters for it, and it can take pipeline input and all these other things. So you kind of build the functionality into those things. And then you write the script that sort of glues all those together to accomplish whatever the business task at hand is. But then you've kind of broken things down into a little bit more self-contained, a little bit easier to maintain, and definitely more reusable, which doesn't suck.
Well, and this idea that then you would start having your scripts being called by other scripts.
Yeah, and Microsoft has even given us that capability. You can take a bunch of your so-called script commandlets, these advanced functions, and you can dump them into something called a script module, which is just a big text file with a PS1M file name extension, or PSM1. And then that thing looks and acts like a module. So instead of importing the Active Directory module, or in addition to importing the Active Directory module, you import your module. And you can have those things live on a file share someplace in the company, and all the other admins can import that same module and use those same commands in their scripts. It's all the architecture is there to make it as robust and modularized and shareable as you want it to be. I think our big thing is that, Unix administrators tend to come from a background that encourages programming. A lot of them, took some C programming or some Perl in college. And Windows administrators, a lot more of us came from other jobs. We switched when the demand was big, and we don't have that formal programming education. And so taking that approach can be a little bit more difficult. You can certainly use PowerShell very effectively without ever going that far. But, if you're going to be the highest paid IT person in your shop, then you're going to be the one who just knows how to do everything that there is to do with PowerShell.
And that sort of leads us into the whole .NET development side of PowerShell. And I haven't seen a lot of examples of this. Why do people need to go to actually programming inside of PowerShell?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's sort of approach A, which is you're not using .NET at all. You're combining PowerShell commands with some simple logic structures like if then.
Right.
And that's certainly where I think most administrators are capable of going to if they want to. I think that if you come down to a point where you start really having to dig and use a lot of the base .NET framework classes to do things for which commandlets aren't available, or a commandlet doesn't do what you need, and you're really digging under the hood and accessing .NET directly, I think you should get a copy of Visual Studio.
Really?
I mean, it's a better environment. It provides you with a lot more assistance and help in using those classes. That's what it's for. It's a .NET programming environment. The goal to keep using PowerShell is sort of a hurdle. When you first want to take those training wheels off your bicycle, and yet you're afraid you're going to fall over and skin the entire right side of your body off. But if you really are diving into .NET, then use the tool that's for .NET. Get a copy of Visual Studio. I mean, you can get free copies.
Yeah, Studio Express is probably sufficient.
And you don't have to give up PowerShell.
Right.
If you just want to integrate some PowerShell and some .NET stuff, but most of what you're doing is .NET, one line of code in Visual Studio will spin up PowerShell, execute a PowerShell command, and give you the results back. So Visual Studio developers can take advantage of everything that PowerShell has. That's how the management interface for things like Exchange are built. They're built in Visual Studio, but it's just running PowerShell commands under the hood.
And aren't we effectively going the other way as more and more things have PowerShell built in? We have less and less need to use .NET.
Hopefully. Hopefully we will have less need to use .NET directly, at least as admins, and we will have less need to use things like WMI directly, which is very useful, but it's a great big mess. And it seems to me that Microsoft is building more and more commandlets around specific tasks. And in some cases, those commandlets use WMI. In all cases, the commandlets themselves are built in .NET. So if Microsoft can sort of abstract that developer surface away from us admin and give us an admin surface that encapsulates what we need, then we shouldn't have to go any further. Today, you know, we're not there yet. We're only 3 or 4 years into the PowerShell's life cycle, but in 4 or 5 more years, yeah, we should be there.
And then things are going to be very different. Are we actually using .NET 4.0 in PowerShell now, or is it still back at 2?
Well, PowerShell has 2.0 as a minimum requirement. If you have 3.5, it will light up additional features, and that's their plan, is to continue to build against the lowest version of the framework they possibly can, but to light up new features with additional commands if you happen to have a newer version of Windows and a newer version of the framework. I'm not aware of anything right now that's built against 4.0, it being so new, but it'll happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking, and this is an odd thought, but an interesting one, the location classes in 4.0 would be useful for someone building a script to do certain tasks, maybe networking related.
Oh yeah, certainly.
Any favorite tools, things you point folks to that are getting used to PowerShell?
Yeah, a few. I used to work for Sapien Technologies, and I'm still a big fan of PrimalScript. I think it's a very mature environment. I still wind up doing a lot of work in VBScript and even Perl for different customers. And PrimalScript is nice in that it supports about 40 different languages. So I can kind of have one environment that I get used to. I know it's key presses and everything else. But I've really been blown away by what the folks at Quest are doing with PowerGUI. Not so much the drag and drop and it sits on top of PowerShell, but the editor side of it. There's a PowerShell script editor part of it. And it's for a product that's only been around for a couple of years, it's incredibly mature and it's got a ton of features in it. PowerShell Plus is the other commercial one. That one's starting to kind of come along. It went through a little bit of a development slump, but it seems to be picking back up again, which is nice. So we'll see where that goes. And, there's like you said, there's a lot of other tools out there. There's one called PowerWF and that kind of put a GUI on top of PowerShell. I try to stay away from those for a couple of reasons. My job is mainly to teach people to use PowerShell, and I can't do that if we're abstracting it behind a GUI. And the other is that in a lot of ways, for an admin, the GUI is a crutch.
Right.
I think a lot of Windows administrators got into the field because, well, hey, it's Windows. It looks the same as on my desktop. I can do that. And it made us ignore a lot of the underlying complexity that we really should have been more aware of. And so you'll see folks do, kind of some really poor practices just because it's not exposed to them. So I kind of think we need to just deliberately cast off the crutches and really get to the lowest level of the operating system we can. And if it seems hard, well, yeah, that's what we do for a living. You know, this is our job, is understanding what this OS is doing. And the closer we can get to the bottom of it, the more we can understand the real details of those buttons we're pushing.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, right?
Yeah, well, at least some bucks. You know, I mean, any buck is a good buck these days.
Well, that's a good point. I'd like to go back to your, like to cannibalize a little bit your subway train analogy, and maybe this is in that context, maybe this is the mind the gap part of the conversation. But what about thinking about security when you're using PowerShell? What are some of the things that people need to get in mind to make sure they don't, fall into the tracks or fall into a hole? Are there things that are critical to keep in mind when you're implementing PowerShell, maybe in an enterprise environment or an environment where security could be a concern?
I think it's just a matter of care. PowerShell doesn't let you do anything that you don't have permission to do. There's no extra permission layer in PowerShell. But on the other hand, it also isn't going to ask you if you're sure. And that's the one thing that we can kind of really have an over-dependence on with the GUI is the, are you sure you want to delete the top-level organizational unit in your domain? Are you sure?
Oh, it's been there.
PowerShell by default is perfectly happy to just do it because that's what you told it to do. So it's exercising a little bit more care and a little bit more caution. And again, just being aware of what you're doing and what the consequences are. I think I meet more Windows admins than on other operating systems who do things more by rote. And that's definitely not the majority of Windows admins, but I do meet them from time to time. And they're doing things by rote. They know to go here and click this and do this, and they're not really aware of what's happening there. And so when they find themselves confronted with a situation where there's a problem, they're not able to think through the problem because they really don't know what the underlying processes are anyway. PowerShell is super dangerous for someone like that. If you can't really think through what's going on, then you shouldn't do it. If you can't take a command off the internet and prior to running it, sit down and write out exactly what you think each step is going to do, then you're not ready to run that command, even in a test environment. It's probably going to do something you didn't expect, and then you're not going to know why it did what you didn't expect. So really understanding what's happening, having an expectation when you look at a command, being able to verify whether or not it actually did what you expected or whether you need to run it differently or re-educate yourself. Those are all just core parts of it. We honestly should have been doing that all along with the GUI, but the GUI makes it easy, and it kind of protects you from yourself a little bit.
Just back on the security a little bit there, there is a way to sign scripts, right? There is some...
Yeah, so PowerShell's security is not around preventing you from doing something that you're allowed to do. What it is around is the idea of helping you stop yourself from unintentionally running a script, which may or may not contain malicious code.
Right.
And so the idea is by default, you just can't run scripts. And that's about as secure as you can make it. So you have to turn that switch on. Once you turn it on, you can decide that only digitally signed scripts are going to execute. The theory being that although a digitally signed script could contain malicious code, it's been digitally signed and you can track down the author and hit him with a baseball bat.
Nice.
So you can dumb it down even further than that, but you make that decision. So you decide. And if you know that, hey, I am just never going to run a script that I haven't thoroughly looked at in detail myself, then any setting is safe because you're sort of taking that responsibility on yourself. At least with, all signed, you're not necessarily guaranteeing that something won't be malicious, but you're at least guaranteeing that you'll know who wrote the thing before you run it.
And this is an either or option, right? You turn on, I require signed scripts, and you require them. There's nothing in between.
The option is to either allow no scripts, require that all scripts be signed, don't require any script to be signed, or require that any script living on your local computer doesn't have to be signed, but any script coming from a UNC or through Internet Explorer does have to be signed.
Okay.
So you've got four basic levels that you can go to, and they're all really just designed to help you identify scripts that are or are not trusted. Not so much not malicious, but just it's a trust thing.
Right. That makes sense.
Anything
we really shouldn't script?
Permissions. I was just writing an article about it this morning, and Windows permissions are just these incredibly complicated little beasts that have 18 moving parts, and they're really tough to manage. I've written PowerShell scripts on a number of occasions that were kind of provisioning scripts, and you need to set permissions on the new user's home folder.
Yeah.
And I just always use cackles or one of the variants, xcackles or whatever else. I don't like messing with the getACL and setACL commands because they force you to deal with these incredibly complex .NET objects, and I just can't keep it in my head, and I don't feel like looking it up every time. So I just use xcackles.
Okay.
But
call it and let it do its job.
It's an easy workaround. It's a tool that works.
Right. And I mean, this is the classic scenario for scripting is provisioning a user in sort of a one-click step.
Yeah. And I guess that really highlights another lesson about PowerShell, which is Microsoft is not asking you to give up anything you already know how to do that already works. If you know how to do VBScript, keep going. I'm not going to try and tell you that PowerShell is better than VBScript. It's different. I think it has broader coverage. I think you can do more with PowerShell, but if what you need to do you can accomplish in VBScript and that's the fastest way for you to get there, well, then do it that way. If the fastest way for me to change permissions on a folder is to use xcackles, well, do that. You can do it in a PowerShell script. It works fine.
Right.
There's no reason to spend 6 days teaching yourself some new bit when you already know how to accomplish that task. The idea is that a developer might have the time to sit down and do that, but administrators, we tend to be a little bit more pragmatic. It's let's fix it and let's move on to the next problem or go home. not let's spend 6 days figuring out how to do something I already know how to do. Just do it the way you already know how to do it.
Although the pool of COM objects available to you in VBScript is shrinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's at least not growing. It's definitely not getting any bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not getting guys building the products we want to administer aren't putting any cycles into building COM objects anymore.
Well, no, and before, COM objects were always optional for them. They didn't have to do that at all. There was no mandate from corporate. Now there's a corporate mandate to put PowerShell in.
Right.
And so, you know, the reason they might have done a COM object before has been obviated, and more of them are starting to write those things in managed code and then building commandlets to wrap around that, which is good. Let's go forward and have it all in one place. You know, you are going to have to learn PowerShell, but you know, we're in a transition time right now, so there's going to be a lot of things in play in most companies.
Now, the other piece I think that intimidates a lot of folks around PowerShell is the regex side of things.
Oh, yeah.
And where is regex essential in this?
It's not. I mean, regular expressions are a great way to explain a character pattern or string pattern to a computer. Here's what an IP address should look like. Here's what an email address in our company should look like. I think the only time you're really going to need a regex is if you need to parse something out of a text log file, maybe an IIS log or a firewall log or something else, where the information is text already and you need to pull particular bits out of it. PowerShell, by and large, does not focus heavily on text. There's a couple of commands that can use regular expressions to parse information out of text files. There are some text comparison operators, but PowerShell likes to work with objects, which are much easier and don't require nearly the proficiency in regular expressions that, say, a Unix administrator would have to know.
Right.
Because Unix is a text-based operating system, and you need to use those tools. Less and less of Windows is being dumped into text files these days. Website log files, I think, are the biggest one I can think of. But if you've got any kind of text log and you need to pull information out of it, then you're going to have to read up on regular expressions. Apart from that, I do a lot in PowerShell without them.
Yeah, I still am living in Exchange event logs these days, and they're still all text as well.
Yeah, and Microsoft needs to get better about that. Logging has always been this afterthought with a lot of Microsoft products, And I think they know that. I think they're kind of recognizing that now, and the situation's starting to get a little better. But, you know, just dumping everything into these text files and making us parse out strings and bits of stuff is a horrible, horrible, horrible way to conduct business.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, when the alternative is WMI, I don't feel better about it.
Yeah. They're not proud of WMI, unfortunately.
I don't think anybody is.
You know what happened is there was no one in charge of it.
Yeah.
There was a group that kind of was putting out the here's how you should write providers, but every single product group was left to invent their own way, and they did, and then didn't document any of it.
Yeah.
WMI is owned by Management Frameworks now. It's the same group that puts out PowerShell, and Jeffrey Snover, who is PowerShell's main architect, is now the main architect for WMI, which ought to give me hope. I'm not sure that, you know, there's just so much has been done and so much history. I think, again, that what we're going to wind up seeing is that it's going to be easier for Microsoft just to wrap that up into commandlets and let programmers deal with the WMI nonsense under the hood. And the sooner we can get there, the better.
Absolutely.
So I've asked other people this before about PowerShell, and I'm kind of curious what your answer will be. What is the biggest, coolest, or most amazing, or most surprising thing that you've run into that you've seen that somebody has built in PowerShell?
It's probably one of the oldest, and it's probably MySpace. They were an early adopter of PowerShell version 1.
Really?
They were kind of an early success story. They obviously have got a couple of servers to manage.
Yeah, a couple here and there.
Large, here and there.
at one point, they were the largest ASP.web site in the world, right?
Yeah, well, and that's what surprises people is that they are built on the Microsoft platform.
Yeah.
And so
migrated to it.
They did. And they kind of chunk out their web farms into, you know, page servers and search servers and all these broad functional areas. And they had a need to be able to quickly deploy new servers into new functional areas to accommodate demand. And so what they basically did was they have a configuration database that's manipulated by PowerShell. And that database in turn triggers other PowerShell things so that they can run a command and move a search server into being the web server role or move a web page into the profile role, all with PowerShell commands.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I actually didn't realize that. That's pretty cool.
It's a substantial, you know, farm, globally distributed farm that they're operating that way. And they find PowerShell is good because it lets them construct their own processes. You know, if they need to take a bunch of servers, then they can sort of construct that process ad hoc using all these modules they've already built. And MSN has actually gone down a similar path, and they use PowerShell for some internal management stuff now as well. So, I mean, those are both, you know, pretty good case studies for PowerShell's scalability, at least. What are some of the other ones that you've heard of from other folks?
You know, the one that I am probably the coolest one that I'm most familiar with was an online banking system where you had to have rapid deployment in order to do multiple customers in a multi-tenant environment, and PowerShell was actually used to do all of the instrumentation and all of the creation and setup and the maintenance routines for the system. And it was extremely complicated, but very powerful. Both from a visual standpoint and from a process standpoint.
I think it's probably the same type of thing. You know, anytime you've got something that has to be done quickly and it involves 50 bazillion discrete steps that just cannot be done wrong, that's where automation comes in. You know, if it's repetitive, if it's error prone, if it's time consuming, automate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And do it the same each time. Even if you've generated that from a GUI or anything like that, it's having those steps documented, and then you could tokenize in a few variables for what does need to change, like a username, and off you go. It's completely reusable.
Yep. And PowerShell has great ability to access databases. So if the information is already being created somewhere, like in a customer database, then pull it from there. And that way, you know, the less you're typing and the less you're entering, the less likely you're going to mess something up.
You know, in the IT world, you run into Perl scripting a lot, and you've talked about different kinds of scripting, and Perl got mentioned a little bit, and regular expressions mentioned a little bit. So there's a lot of IT folks that do, you know, especially those that have been around for a while, that learned Perl as sort of their scripting language of choice, you know, for whether it was for crunching numbers or going through logs, especially log file examination and whatnot. Where does it make sense to keep using Perl for stuff? And where does it maybe make sense to take some of the stuff that's been done in Perl before and pull it into something that where PowerShell might give you more benefit?
If you can accomplish everything you need in Perl, then go for it. I think what PowerShell offers beyond Perl is a deeper tie-in, especially to Microsoft products. You know, if you want to write a script that creates a user, adds them to SharePoint, creates a mailbox in Exchange, gives them some permission in a SQL database, PowerShell offers all those bits, and it makes it easier to get to those functions than anything we've ever had before. Perl definitely rocks when it comes to parsing text files. I mean, that is the strongest language for doing any text operations. And if you're doing a lot of that, it might make sense to stick with Perl. On the other hand, it might make sense to integrate it. You know, there's no reason you can't write a Perl script to go parse a bunch of information out of a text file and then have that pass the information to PowerShell, so that PowerShell can utilize that information to do whatever else. It might look like a hodgepodge, but that's what admins are supposed to be good at, is hacking things together that no one really intended for us to get done, so that we can get it done. And it makes a lot of sense there.
Maybe an example of that might be, I'm going to parse through a web server log and I see some activity that looks potentially malicious. Maybe I pass that over to PowerShell and have PowerShell do a configuration on my firewall or on my IIS server or someplace in order to maybe block an IP address or to take some kind of action based on the results I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can absolutely do that. And you could coordinate that from the Perl script. You could coordinate it from the PowerShell script. You could have either side sort of be the master script that runs the other as a subroutine. It's pretty flexible that way.
Cool.
Well, gentlemen, I think we're out of time.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was really nice talking with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. Fun conversation.
Thank you, Don. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.